Take your Bibles, if you would, Joshua chapter 7. And I hope tonight that we can finish up chapter 7 and finish the story of Achan. Let me just, refresh so everybody knows where we are. In chapter 6, as the Israelites were moving into the promised land, Jericho was the first city that they came across, and they won a great victory in a miraculous way at Jericho. But God had told them that everything in Jericho was his. And so all the spoils were to come into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And everybody obeyed that except for one man, that man named Achan, who took some gold, who took some silver, who took a garment, and stole it, hid it in his tent. And when the people of God got ready to go to the next city that God wanted them to take, the city of Ai, which was a much smaller city than the city of Jericho. And again, remember at Jericho, they didn't lose a single man. No Israeli was killed in the battle of Jericho. I don't think anybody was hurt. But when they came to Ai, a much smaller city, Joshua sent some men to look at it, and they said, "We don't need to send anybody. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000 men." They sent 3,000 men, and they were soundly defeated. 36 soldiers were killed in that defeat. And so in the beginning of chapter 7, we find Joshua laying on his face with his clothes rent, on his face before God, asking why. Why have you removed your favor from us? Why did we lose the battle of Ai? And last week, we talked about how God came to Joshua and answered that prayer and basically said, "There is sin in the camp. I told you everything in Jericho was supposed to be mine. Somebody took something that was mine. And until you remove that accursed thing from the camp, my blessings are not going to follow you. You're not going to have any more victories. You've got to get that accursed thing out of the camp." And verse 4, we finished with verse 15 last week, but you remember in verse 14, God told him how to find the culprit. He told him how to find the guilty party. He said, "Bring all the tribes, I'll show you the tribe. Then bring all the families, I'll show you the family. Bring all the households, I'll show you the household. And then from that household, bring every man, and I will show you the man. And you need to take care of this, because again, I'm not going to be with you anymore until that was stolen is removed from the camp and taken care of." And so as we start in verse 16 tonight of Joshua chapter 7, we see Joshua doing what God told him to do. And just to organize our Bible study tonight, I want to look at seven different things. So you can keep track of sort of where I am and know when I'm about to get done, depending on what number I'm on, okay? So number one, we're going to talk about how Achan is discovered. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the families of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken." Now, I think Joshua slept pretty good that night. He knew that God had just not removed his presence from them. He knew that God's arm was not shortened that he couldn't save. He knew that there was a cause for God removing his blessing, and that cause was sin. And so I think he slept pretty good. But I want you to notice what it says. He rose up early in the morning. He wanted to quickly take care of this thing that was causing God's displeasure on the camp. He wanted to quickly get himself and the people back in God's favor. And so he rose up early in the morning. And I want you to notice it wasn't just him. Everybody else was up early in the morning too, because he took them tribe by tribe and family by family and household by household and man by man. So it wasn't just him that wanted to quickly get back on God's good side. It was everybody in the camp. You know, it ought to be that way today. If God tells us to do something, we ought not to delay. We ought not to put it off. We ought to get at it immediately. We ought to get at it now. And so if God's told you to do something, just get at it. Just go ahead and get it done and do it. And so he took them tribe by tribe. The tribe of Judah was taken. Now you remember, tribe of Judah was the largest tribe in the nation of Israel. Judah was Jacob and Leah's third or fourth son. I can't remember. I think it's fourth son. But his tribe, when they counted up the people before they sinned and wouldn't go into the promised land, there were more people in Judah than any other tribe. And after spending 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't go in and everybody over 20 died, and they counted them again before they got ready to go into the promised land, there was more people in the tribe of Judah than any other tribe. So the biggest tribe, probably the most honorable tribe of the 12 tribes. This is the tribe from which the Savior is going to spring. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet, here's a black mark on this tribe. Here's a reproach on this tribe. One of theirs is the one that brought this dishonor to Israel. God might have done that to check their pride. They might have been going around with their chest puffed out and say, hey, look at me. I'm a member of the tribe of Judah. And God said, well, I'm going to knock you down a step, boys, because, you know, pride goeth before the fall. And it just tells us today, having a good heritage is a good thing. Having grandparents and great-grandparents and moms and dads that worship God and taught you right and brought you up right, that's a good thing. But it's not the only thing. You can't depend on your heritage. You can't depend on what grandpa and grandma and your mom and dad did. You and I still have to make decisions on our own. We still have to decide if we're going to serve God or not. We still have to decide if we're going to obey. I mean, thank God for godly grandparents and thank God for godly parents. If you have them, you ought to thank God for them. But don't depend on what they did. You got to make the decision for yourself. Nobody gets saved because their grandpa and grandma saved. I mean, it's easier. I've shared my testimony. If it wasn't for my grandma, I probably wouldn't be saved tonight. But her salvation didn't get me into heaven. I had to decide for myself. And so does everybody else. And so, good. It takes it tribe by tribe. And the tribe of Judah was taken. Now, I was reading a little bit in Josephus about this. You know, he's a Jewish historian. And he said this. Now, this is not in the Bible, just a Jewish tradition, okay? But he tells a story that at this particular time, when the tribe of Judah was taken, every soldier that was in the tribe of Judah pulled their swords out of their sheaths and said, we're not putting them away until the guilty one is punished. We're going to keep our swords bared, and we're ready to bring punishment on this one of ours that have brought this reproach on our nation. So he took the tribe of Judah, then the family of the Zarhites, then the household of Zabdi, and then Achan was taken. It came down to one man. Achan was taken. And again, I have mentioned this before, but you would think that if Achan had any sense, the closer it got to him, I mean, when they picked the tribe of Judah, this is my tribe. I'm talking, thinking like Achan, okay? This is my tribe. And then they picked the family of the Zerahites. Oh, this is my family. And then they picked the household of Zabdi. Oh, this is my household. And now he's in the group of men that are passing by Joshua one at a time. The closer it got to him, you would have think he would have done one of two things. You would have either thought he would have run and got out of there, or you would have think he would have stepped forward and confessed. Said, hey, you don't need to go any further. I'm the guy, and I throw myself on God's mercy. You don't have to. I think if it was me, if they picked my tribe, I think I'd understand that God knew who it was. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you would think he would have done one of those two things. But his heart was hardened. He thought he could get by with this sin. He thought God didn't know. And I spent some time this morning thinking about this. Just think about this for a minute. I wonder when Joshua said, "You're the guy, Achan, you're the guy." I wonder what his sons and his daughters, how they reacted. The Bible doesn't mention his wife. At the end of the chapter, his whole family is put together in this valley and they're stoned and burned. Doesn't mention his wife, but it mentions his sons and his daughters. Don't know if he had any brothers or sisters, but I wonder how they reacted when it came down. Joshua said, "Achan, you're the guy. You're the guy." Doesn't mention his parents. I wonder if his parents were still there, alive. I wonder how they reacted when their son was pointed out by God as this one that brought reproach on Israel. The one that brought dishonor. The one that brought defeat. The one that brought death. You see, the price for sin, usually the sinner doesn't pay the price alone. It usually affects those that he loves and cares about. It usually affects other people. And it usually affects the people that you care about. Now, as I was thinking about this, that ought to be a strong motivation for us to keep doing right. We ought to have the motivation. I want to keep doing right because I want to please God. I don't want God to have to punish me. But another strong motivation ought to be, I don't want my kids to see me pay the price of my sin. I don't want my mom and dad to see me pay the price of my sin. I mean, I've told you before, when I was a little kid, I feared dad's belt, his razor strop. I mean, that was a deterrent to my behaving most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. But as I got older, a stronger deterrent, I would much rather my dad whip me with the belt than my mom to say, "You have really disappointed me." Or my dad to say, "I just don't understand why you did this. I'm so disappointed." That's like sticking a knife in my heart. I'd rather he get the belt out and just wear the tire out of me than to say, "You've disappointed me." And again, it ought to be a strong motivation for us. To do right, to obey God. And again, this story reinforces the fact that it's a folly. We're just fools if we think we can hide our sin from God. I mean, he sees everything. He knows what we think. We cannot hide anything from God. And to think that we can sin and get by with it, when the Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out," it's true. God knows. And again, it shows us how concerned we ought to be when it seems that God has taken his hand of blessing off of us as individuals, off of us, our families, off of us as a church. If God takes his hand of blessing off, we ought to be like Job. Job, at one point, he prayed. He said, "Lord, show me why thou contendest with me." Job said, I want to know. And if God, like he did to the Israelites, removes his hands of blessing, we ought to go to him and say, "Lord, if it's me, show me. Because if it's me, I don't want to be like Achan. I don't want you to have to point me out. I'll confess it right now. I want to get it fixed right now. I fall on your mercy and grace right now. I don't want to be the cause of you taking your hand off of this church or this family." And it shows the concern that we ought to have. Okay, so that's number one. I promise you all 7 points won't take that long. Number two, I want you to look at his arraignment and examination. Look at verse 19. "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." Joshua's the judge. He knows Achan is guilty. I mean, God has pointed out the tribe, the family, the household, and the man. But I want you to notice, he didn't set up there as Achan judge and call him a thief, a rebel, or a fool. He said, "My son, my son. He didn't threaten him. He didn't torture him. He entreats him, and he says, I pray thee. So I want you to notice the meekness and the kindness that Joshua showed to Achan, this one that he knew was guilty. And again, this just says to me that, you know, when we judge others, okay, sometimes we put in that position where we have to judge others. We ought to remember, there but for the grace of God go I. There but for the grace of God go I. Joshua said, Achan, you need to confess to God. Now, God already knows. I mean, God pointed him out. He said, you need to confess to God. You still might be forgiven if you confess. And if you confess, if it's evidence that you're really repentant for what you did, and it'll bring honor to God because you'll remind everybody that God knows. And you can't hide anything from him. All right? Number three, look at his confession. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Notice what he said, I have sinned. He didn't try to blame his heritage. He didn't try to blame his environment. He didn't try to blame his circumstances. Some people do that today. Oh, yeah, I've sinned, but it's not my fault. It's my grandpa and grandma's fault, or it's this environment. Achan didn't do any of that. He says, I have sinned. He took the responsibility for it. He says, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Now, he had sinned against some other people. I mean, there were 36 men dead because of him. They had suffered defeat at Ai. Dishonor had been brought on God's name. But he said, I've sinned against you, God. My sin is against you. He said the same thing that David said in Psalm 51, when he was confessing the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And our sin today is against God. And I want you to notice, Achan got very specific. Here's what I did. Here's what he says. I saw the garment. I saw the silver. I saw the gold. I coveted it. And I took it. I took it. That's the three steps that lead to most sin. That's the three steps that led to the first sin that was ever committed. Eve in the Garden of Eden. I saw the fruit. It was desirous to make me wise. I took it and I ate it. And you've heard me say many, many times, not only when we've been studying this book, but many, many times, if you look, and by the way, if God says this is mine, and it's, which means it ain't yours, pardon the English, if God says it's mine, it means it ain't yours, keep your eyes off of it. Don't even look at it. But if you look, don't covet. Be content with what you have. And if you covet, don't take. Because it's God says, it's not yours. Keep your hands off of it. And we'd be better off if we didn't look. If we look, we'd be better off if we didn't covet. And if we covet, we'd be a whole lot better off if we don't take. You can't steal you can't steal from God and get by with it. And by the way, I think the promise of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that promise is dependent on us being specific. I don't think that verse works when you get to the end of the day and say, God, I've sinned today, please forgive me. I think it works when you say, God, I did this today, forgive me. I did this today, and name it. Forgive me. I didn't do this. I knew I should have done it, but I didn't do it. Forgive me. The more specific we are in our confession of our sins to God, the more he knows that we know what we did and it was wrong and that we're sorry for it. And if we name them one by one, the more apt we'll not be to do it again. Okay, number four, I want you to look at his conviction. Look at verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took it, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Now God had already convicted Achan by pointing out the tribe, family, and household, and the person. He'd already been convicted by his own confession, but now Joshua was going to seal the deal, so to speak. You know, there were a lot of Israelis that were discontented. There was a lot of Israelis that didn't agree with the way God did things. And Joshua wanted to go get the loot, so to speak, lay it out before all the people, lay it out before God, so that nobody could say, well, we judged this man unfairly. He wanted the proof to be in front of everybody. And so they went to the tent. They found the garment, the gold, and the silver. They laid them out before Joshua. They laid them out before all the children of Israel. And they laid them out before God, acknowledging that what Achan had taken really belonged to God. And again, notice, they ran to the tent. They wanted to quickly do what God told them to do. They wanted to quickly get back into God's good pleasure. They wanted to quickly get out from underneath his punishment. Number five, look at his condemnation. Verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. He said, the Lord's, Achan, you've troubled us. You've troubled the people of God. Now God is going to trouble you. You just didn't rob from God. You brought trouble to God's people. God, and by the way, God hasn't changed. God still brings tribulation to those that trouble his people. And again, I'm not going to chase a rabbit because I don't have time tonight, but we better be careful how we treat Israel. They're still God's people. We better be careful how we treat Israel. And we better watch how we treat God's people, the church. That's us. We better watch how we treat each other. The name Achan means trouble. Number six, I want you to notice his execution. Let's read the last verse of last part of verse 25. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Again, it tells us in the previous verse they brought him to the valley of Achor outside the camp. And who were the executioners? All of Israel. Say, preacher, you think everybody picked up a stone? No, I don't think everybody picked up a stone. There were thousands of people. But I think a lot of people picked up stones. And I think there were a lot of people watching what happened. A lot of people witnessed what happened, and everybody in the camp consented in what they did. Because everybody in the camp wanted God's displeasure to end. And again, notice, it wasn't just Achan. It was the stuff he stole from God, the gold, the silver, and the garment. It was his stuff that he already had, his animals. It was his sons and daughters. And maybe they were innocent, or maybe they were guilty. I don't know. Doesn't say. Maybe they knew what Dad did, and that's why God, you know, put him in the punishment. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe they were innocent. But again, it just goes to show us that sin affects others. And we ought to live our life in such a way that we don't bring punishment to innocent people. Now, notice the result, verse 26. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. His displeasure on his people was removed because they took the accursed thing out of the camp. And they set up a heap of stones. They piled up stones after they burned, and they named that valley, they named it this day, the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. The Valley of Trouble. Achan had troubled God's people. God troubled him. Now, and that's what happens when we disobey God. When we disobey God, we're just asking for it. You know, one of the things I can never understand about myself and about other people, God's given us this book. He's given us example after example after example of what happens to people when they disobey him. And yet, instead of learning from their experience, we got to go through it ourselves. We disobey God. We have to pay the price. The Valley of Achor, Valley of Trouble, but also a door to hope. Because when the people took care of the sin, when the people took the accursed thing out of the camp, the fierceness of God's anger was removed. God will forgive. He'll forgive. There's always hope because of his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.